The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your Son came into the world to free us all from sin and death. Breathe upon us the power of your Spirit, that we may be raised to new life in Christ and serve you in righteousness all our days. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated.
A reading from Ezekiel. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' Thus says the Lord God to these bones, 'I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded, and as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood on their feet, a vast multitude. Then he said to me, 'Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up, and our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore, prophesy, and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and bring you up from your graves, O my people. I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live, and I will place you on your own soil. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act, says the Lord." The word of God, word of life. Let us pray and pray Psalm 130 responsively. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication.
If you were to keep watch over sins, O Lord, who could stand?
Yet I give you forgiveness, in order that you may hear you.
I wait for you, O Lord, my soul waits. In your word is my hope. O Israel, wait for the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love. With the Lord there is plenteous redemption.
For the Lord shall redeem Israel from all their sins.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Second reading is a reading from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death. But to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's love. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, through the body, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks
be to God. The Holy Gospel according to John. You may be seated for this rather long reading. There was a certain man named Lazarus who was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was sick, was the one who had anointed the Lord with perfume and dried his feet with her hair. The sisters sent word to Jesus to inform him, "Lord, the one you love is sick." Upon hearing this, Jesus said,
"This sickness is not to end in death. Rather, it is for God's glory that through it the Son of God may be glorified."
Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus very much. Yet after hearing that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 days more. Finally, he said to his disciples,
"Let's go back to Judea."
The disciples protested,
"Rabbi, with the Jews only recently trying to stone you, you are going back up there again?
Are there not 12 hours of daylight? If a man goes walking by day, he does not stumble because he sees the world bathed in light. But if he goes walking at night, he will stumble since there is no light in him. Our beloved Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him."
At this, the disciples objected,
"Lord, if he is asleep, his life will be saved."
Jesus had been speaking about his death, and they thought he meant sleep in the sense of slumber. Finally, Jesus said plainly,
"Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not here, that you may come to believe. In any event, let's go to him."
Then Thomas, the name means twin, said to his fellow disciples,
"Let us go along then to die with him."
When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. The village was not far from Jerusalem, just under 2 miles. And many Jewish people had come out to console Martha and Mary over their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died. Even now, I'm sure that God will give you whatever you ask of him."
"Your brother will rise again."
"I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day."
"I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he should die, will come to life. And whoever is alive and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
"Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, he who is to come into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary.
"The teacher is here, asking for you."
As soon as Mary heard this, she got up and started out in his direction. Actually, Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the spot where Martha had met him. The Jews who were in the house with Mary, consoling her, saw her get up quickly and go out. So they followed her, thinking she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to the place where Jesus was, seeing him, she fell at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would never have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had accompanied her also weeping, he was troubled in spirit, moved by the deepest emotions.
"Where did you lay him?"
"Lord, come and see."
Jesus began to weep, which caused the Jews to remark, "See how much he loved him?" But some said,
"He opened his eyes to that blind man. Why could he have not done something to stop this man from dying?"
Once again, troubled in spirit, Jesus approached the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across it.
"Take away the stone."
Martha, the dead man's sister, said to him,
"Lord, it has been 4 days now. Surely there will be a stench."
Did I not assure you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God displayed?
Then they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
Father, I thank you for having heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd, that they may believe that you sent me.
Having said this, he called loudly,
Lazarus, come out.
The dead man came out, bound head and foot with linen strips, his face wrapped in a cloth.
Untie him, let him go free.
This caused many of the Jews who had come to visit Mary and had seen what Jesus did to put their faith in him. The Gospel of the Lord.
I visited a modern day Lazarus last week, and he told me it would be all right if I would tell his story today. Rob is the husband of one of our preschool teachers. You might recognize him if you have ever attended any of the performances at Westminster Presbyterian Church, where they do the plays. Rob is a great singer and an actor, early 40s, maybe not even 40. And last Friday, when he was at work, his heart stopped, and his colleague caught him and started doing CPR. Another colleague called 911, and within minutes, the paramedics were there with their AED machine and started his heart again. That wasn't the only Lazarus event that day. The doctors said that his heart stopped, and he literally died 5 times in those 6 hours that before they got him to a place where he was stable. 5 times he died and was revived. The tears and the prayers continue today, but Rob is alive, and he's getting better. Did he hear the voice of Jesus that day? Did he see the tears on Jesus' face? Rob and his family have a very strong faith, and they knew that Jesus was with them on Friday. Jesus was there in the person of Vicar Joshua, who cried with them and prayed with them. Jesus was there in the person of Tim, who started CPR and saved his life. Jesus was there in the person of the doctor and the medical team who used their knowledge and their skill to bring Rob back 5 times. Indeed, Jesus was there with this modern day Lazarus. We just heard the story of the biblical Lazarus and saw how Jesus was there too. When Mary broke down in tears before Jesus, he asked, "Where have you laid him?" And when they got to the place where the tomb was, Jesus broke down in tears too. We know that he didn't try to hide his tears because the people who were around commented that Jesus was crying. See how much he loved him. Now, there's no mystery about why Mary and Martha were crying. Their brother had died. The funeral had happened 4 days before this, and their best friend, Jesus, hadn't gotten there. Theirs were tears of grief. Those tears we understand. We've stood in a cemetery. We've sat in a church, and we've wept with family and friends. We cry at funerals because we can do nothing else. Our grief takes over, our bodies react, our tear ducts fill up, and the water begins to flow. We cry. But why did Jesus cry? Verse 36 in chapter 11 of John's Gospel is the shortest verse in the whole Bible, and Jesus wept. Lots of confirmation candidates choose that verse for their memory verse. I don't think because it has such great theological impact, but it's the shortest verse in the Bible. I like this verse not because it's so short, but because it's filled with so much information. It tells me a lot about Jesus. Jesus cried because he cared. He cried for the same reason that we cry at funerals. He grieved with Mary and Martha. Jesus loved them and their brother Lazarus. He grieved that his friend had died. He felt their pain. He understood their tears. That's what friends do. They cry when you cry. Jesus weeps with Mary and Martha because he knows what pain and the sense of loss that death brings. His tears are tears of compassion. He sees how much these two women are hurting and how deeply the death of their brother has affected them. He shed tears of sadness because he knew that the power of death had a strength that was awful, and what terrible suffering death causes. He cried because it's not right that a life is suddenly cut short. I like this verse, and Jesus wept. It tells me that God cares when people are hurting. When we cry, God cries too. There's a story about a little girl who comes home late in the afternoon after visiting her friend. And the mother said, "Why are you so late? You were supposed to be home an hour ago." And she said, "Oh, I was helping Jane. Her doll broke." And the mother said, "Did you help her fix it?" And she said, "No. I just sat beside her and helped her cry." This short verse in the Bible tells us so much about Jesus. He weeps for all who pray for God to come and nothing happens. I'm going to cry. He weeps for all who face the tragic experiences in this life and cry out, "Why?" He weeps for all those who have hard questions or doubts. He weeps with those who painfully stand at death's door. He weeps for all those who ask for a miracle and don't get it. This verse shows us that God has a weeping heart. We don't have a God who is distant, far away, uninvolved, unmoved by our fears, our tears, our grief. This is our Lord Jesus Christ with tears in his eyes. This verse is important because it shows us that Jesus understands what life is like for you and for me. He knows our temptations. He knows what it's like to be human, to suffer. He knows our disappointments, our problems, our questions. And more importantly, he not only knows, but he cares. He understands. Grieving and suffering has a way of isolating us. When we cry, we can't help but think that we're the only ones who have felt this kind of pain. We think that no one else can really understand our grief or feel our pain. But the tears of Jesus tell us that there is someone. There's someone that we can lean on for strength, for wisdom, for comfort. Jesus is there with us and for us. While we wait for the answers to our questions, for solutions to our problems, for relief from our pain, for freedom from our confinement, for recovery from our addictions, for the answer to life's troubling problems and questions. While we wait He waits with us. In our tears, Jesus cries with us. Across the street from the federal building in Oklahoma City, there's a Catholic church. And when that bomb blast destroyed that federal building, it also destroyed a number of other buildings around, including the parsonage attached to the Catholic Church, which was greatly damaged as well. In 1995, that bomb blew up, killing 168 people. The monument that the Catholic Church built in place of the rectory that was destroyed, they built a statue. It's a 9-foot high statue of Jesus. Maybe you've seen some of those big pillar statues of Jesus with his arms outstretched in blessing. Well, this statue doesn't have that image of Jesus blessing. This image of Jesus, his head is in his hands. And the plaque says, "And Jesus wept. His face is turned away from the federal building that stood there." It's a pillar of comfort for all who see that, for the mourners and for the survivors. The reminder that Jesus cries when we cry. And Jesus wept. This is good news. What does God do for us? He sits down and helps us cry. We're not alone in our grief or in our fears. We're not alone in our mourning or in our doubts or in our pain. God cries with us when we cry. Just like Jesus cried with the sisters of Lazarus. Like Vicar Joshua cried with Rob and Dory, with our modern day Lazarus. Like you and I cry with our family and our friends in their pains and troubles, in our grief and loss. This is good news. When we cry, God cries with us. Amen.